Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. I should have worn some green, but I forgot about that today. But nevertheless, I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day. Normally, of course, because it's on a Sunday, probably most people celebrated it last night. But whatever you celebrated or whenever you celebrated it, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's always a good day to eat some good food. And last night we attended an Irish dinner, Irish food. And I have to tell you that I thought it was pretty cool. And I think they call it mud pie is what they call it. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that one, but it's like sort of like potato and ground beef. I guess that's kind of the best way I can describe it. But it's really good. It's really good. I mean, it really is a good dish. So I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day. And I hope we got to wear something green today, even though I'm not wearing something green. Well, let's get to something very serious, something very serious. You know, if you're wondering why so much of the American news media is collapsing, meaning losing credibility and people just walking away from it, the latest example of it is over something that Trump said over the weekend. Trump was having a rally, and he was talking about the Chinese building auto manufacturing plants in Mexico to bring those cars into the United States. Now, I believe he's talking about electric cars. The Chinese are manufacturing in Mexico to bring electric cars into the United States. And Donald Trump reacted to that, as I'm sure many people are reacting to that, as a threat to American workers, American manufacturing. So he said he was going to put a tariff on the Chinese if they did that, or in the companies who are building these cars. And then he said something that there's going to be a bloodbath in the automobile industry. He was talking about the automobile industry. He was not talking about bloodbath in the streets, okay? And a lot of people picked up on the word bloodbath, and they were running all these articles. Even Nancy Pelosi went on CNN to talk about the fact that Donald Trump was calling for a bloodbath. He was not calling for a bloodbath. He was talking about a bloodbath in the sense of what would happen to the automobile industry, not a bloodbath in the sense that people were going to be killing each other over the election results. And it went all over. The media was going crazy about this. Now, I think finally enough people had the common sense to realize that he was not talking about a bloodbath, and they're, you know, pushing it back a little bit. But this is exactly what is wrong with the media, and this is why a lot of people just don't trust them, because they take a remark like that, especially if it comes from Trump. When Democrats use the word bloodbath, you never hear about it, and they've used it a lot. You never hear about it. But Trump used it in an entirely different context. He was not talking about people killing each other. He was talking about the impact of having these cars built in Mexico and the impact that it would have on the automobile industry in the United States. That's what he was talking about. He was not talking about people killing each other over the election results. But nevertheless, it became a big story. And as I said, even Nancy Pelosi went on CNN to talk about the bloodbath that he was calling for. Now, I think most people by now have figured out what he was talking about, and they're pushing it back a little bit, but it's too late because the word is out there. And if you follow Twitter or X, as I do, I check on it, then you know you see all kinds of people posting stuff about the bloodbath. Now, to his credit, Elon Musk, who's the head of Twitter or X, whatever they call it now, he came down very hard on those people who were putting this information out there. And he said, hey, that's not true. He didn't say that. And he didn't say anything about a bloodbath. But again, this is what happens. This is what happens when you have a news media basically made up of people who can't wait to talk about Trump. They're always trying to put Trump in the most negative way that they can. So they hear bloodbath and they assume he's talking about killing people. No, he wasn't. Not talking about killing people. He was talking about the impact that this would have on the automobile industry. So, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say other than, you know, if you work in the news media and you fell for this, then the next time you read polling data or information about people losing faith in your business, maybe you'll understand why. There was no reason for reporters to be talking about Trump calling for a bloodbath, because he didn't call for one. Again, he was talking about the automobile industry. That's what he was talking about. So what a what an unfortunate unfortunate remark, or not remark, but I mean unfortunate reaction to his remark. And once again, you know, these reporters are not helping their credibility when they engage in this kind of dishonest reporting. Well, here's another bit of information about Trump. All of you know this fellow, Stephen Smith. He works for, I think it's ESPN. I'm not sure if it's ESPN or Fox Sports. I'm not sure because I don't really follow him. But he read the guy's pretty smart. I've seen him on the O'Reilly Factor several times. And I've seen him on, you know, he was with Sean Hannity, I think, one time. He's a really smart guy. I mean, he's pretty, I don't follow him that much on sports, but whenever I've seen him talk about politics, the guy's pretty smart. And he, you know, he thinks about things in a very intelligent way. Well, he just did a video. It's available on the internet if you want to check it out. Just, Google his name, and I'm sure you'll find the video, where he's talking about the impact of all of these investigations on our country, or these investigations of Trump. Now, the video is based on an article that Daniel Henninger of the Wall Street Journal wrote about the cost of all of these investigations on our legal system. Not the cost financially, but the damage that all of this is doing to the rule of law. And I think there is a phrase, I'm paraphrasing, but there's a phrase in the article that says, Americans believe in the rule of law, not the law of the jungle. And that's exactly right. And I think this is the reason why all these attacks on Trump are actually backfiring, because it's too much. It is simply too much. At some point, you have to say, you know what? If you don't like the guy, just vote against him. But this crazy, crazy avalanche of litigation against Donald Trump, you've got these absolutely ridiculous trials in New York. This woman who is suing him about something that happened 30 years ago. There's not a single witness to what happened, but she's suing him and winning in the courts. And then you have the attorney general going after him over so-called fraud, when the banks and the insurance companies are saying, he didn't do anything wrong. He paid us back on time. What are you talking about? But it's happening because of selective persecution. And then you have the case of Hillary Clinton. Nothing happens to her over documents. You have the case of President Biden. They say, yeah, he shouldn't have had these documents, but we're not going to prosecute him because, you know, he's a nice old man with a bad memory. And now, of course, you have this absolute joke going on in Fulton County, Georgia, where you've got this district attorney, Fannie Willis, who was having a romantic relationship with Nathan Wade, who was the lead attorney on this case. And now it's all kind of blown to pieces down there. I think that case is pretty much over. And then you have the January 6th investigation. That's, who knows where that's going to go if it goes anywhere. And then you have the Trump has his own document problem. But how can you prosecute Donald Trump over documents when nothing happened to Hillary Clinton and to Joe Biden? So all of these cases have something in common. And again, that's what Stephen Smith was saying, that they're just out to get Trump. They want to destroy Trump. And what's happening is they're destroying themselves, because the more they attack Trump, the higher he goes up. I mean, if you look at the what I would call the Trump comeback, in other words, when he started getting, you know, going up in the polls, go back to the summer of 2022, August, when they went into Donald Trump's home in Florida, when the FBI went into his home. And if you chart the polls, that was the moment when he began the comeback. Because at that time, there were many people like me who thought that Ron DeSantis would actually overtake him. Because Ron DeSantis was looking really good. Good job as governor. He had a very strong political position. And there were many people like me, and I'll say it, who thought, well, maybe it's a good idea if we change faces and maybe move into the future. Trump is a figure of the past, you know, maybe too controversial and so on and so on. So let's move on to the future. And that's where I think a lot of the Republicans were in the summer of 2022. And then they go into his house and they start all these investigations. And then, of course, everything changes, because now Trump is on top of the world. And if the election were held today, he would win easily. I mean, he would easily win the election. No question about it. All the polling data clearly confirms that. And I'm not just talking about one poll. I'm talking about 3 or 4 months of polling data, and the tendency is pro-Trump all the way. So, you know, there's a point in time here, where you have to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. Now, I've got a post over at the American Thinker Sunday morning where I'm talking about the case in Georgia, the Fannie Willis case, where I think that case is completely, I don't know where that case goes right now. But I can tell you this, what amazes me about what's happening with Fannie Willis and what's happening down in Georgia, what amazes me is that these people actually thought they could get away with this, meaning that the district attorney could be having a romantic relationship, going out on cruises and going out on dates and going out. She was even over at his house at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And it just amazes me that they thought they could get away with this. The idea of a district attorney, you know, romantically involved with the lead attorney in the most important case to come out of that district, the case against President Trump in the 2020 election, the fact that they could be doing this and thinking that they were going to get away with it. That's what amazes me. And it really shows you the arrogance of these people that they thought they would never get caught. Well, they got caught. And I don't know what's going to happen to Fannie Willis right now. She was told by the judge to basically either she goes or he goes, but they cannot stay together. Well, he went. I guess he resigned already, Nathan Wade. But I don't think Fannie Willis is going to go very far because she's got all kinds of problems with the bar and the Georgia Senate and other investigations. So she's not going anywhere. And that case also is not going anywhere. But again, too many investigations. It reaches a point where people say, you know what? Don't talk to me about Trump anymore. Talk to me about the increase in gasoline and the price of food and stuff like that, because that's what I want to hear. And that kind of gets me back to Trump a little bit, because Trump, this is where Trump is winning on the issues. And this is, you know, this is not just a personality thing between Trump and Biden. This is really about the issues. And Trump is beating Biden on just about every issue. The only issue where he doesn't beat Biden, if you look at all of these numbers, you look inside the numbers, the only issue where Biden is ahead is on the issue of abortion. But all the other issues, Trump is killing. I mean, literally killing Biden. And that's because things were better when Trump was president. It's as simple as that. It's not very complicated. People have had a chance to compare the two presidencies, and they're saying, you know, we were better off under Trump. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. But anyway, check out that video by Stephen Smith. I think you're going to like it a lot, because the guy is really smart, and I think he gets to the bottom line. The bottom line is too much investigation of Trump. Just simply, they've gone over the top. They've, as they say, overplayed their hand, and now they're looking at the return of Donald Trump. And who would have believed any of that 2 years ago? I wouldn't have believed it 2 years ago, and that's just the way it is. But they brought this on themselves by these crazy investigations and, as I say, overplaying their hand. One quick note here before we say goodbye on this day in history. The great Nat King Cole was born on this day in 1919. He passed away in 1965 at a very young age. He passed away, but he's one of my all-time favorite singers. I didn't really know that much about him until my parents started listening to a Nat King Cole album in Spanish. And then I just started to like the guy. He's got a great voice. He's got a great style, real elegance when he sings. And I mean, he's been dead for almost 60 years, but his music just absolutely lives on. So the great Nat King Cole was born on this day in 1919. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a great day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And again, happy St. Patrick's Day. Bye-bye, everybody.